Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Tender recording live from Worcester, Ohio, the city that always, always sleeps. This is episode 17 of Variable Bitrate. Let's get this shit started. If you don't know, now you do know. This week, I'm joined by Mike Gunzelman, a TV and radio personality most commonly referred to as Guns. Guns is the host of The Gun Show on IW Radio.
Yeah.
There he talks with musicians, business people, TV stars, everybody. It's not hard to get your fill of Guns if you watch Fox News, ESPN, or your Twitter timeline, but I want to get to the heart of the guy who's more often behind the mic than in front of it. Guns, what's ballin'?
What up, man? Yo, that was a hell of an intro. I mean, how many times did you have to rewrite that? Because you nailed that. You nailed that on every level possible. Dude, you brought up Twitter. For the listeners out there, I used to do Twitter instead of Twitter. Oh my god, dude, that was that. You did your homework, man. That was that's a loyal friend right there, dude.
Dude, I've been listening to your show for years, not consistently, but enough. I pick up on stuff.
Right, hell yeah. Well, listen, man, you're. It's funny because it's cool to see us all doing relatively well. All of us that kind of I'd say I started like a couple years earlier than you did, but it's cool to see like you and like whether it's Zach or you know like the rest of the homies and stuff to you know progressively keep kind of building up and now doing our own thing. I mean, you've had great success, but we also used to have a lot of fun back in the day, man. We when Twitter was first starting on and the message board fights and everybody used to do on Absolute Punk and everything and you know, Under the Gun and everything, man. It's cool to see us making moves and making shit happen, you know.
Yeah, dude. Now I don't know about a couple years younger. You're a little bit older than me, Guns.
A little, but no, I'm actually not that old. The thing is, I started when I was really young.
How old are you?
Let's just say I'm not 30 yet, and
okay,
I'm not 30.
Okay, but yeah, but you're getting there. You're getting close.
No, I turn 26 every year. All right, I used to turn 23 every year because 23 seemed like a good year, I guess, or a good age. But now I'm just turning 26 consistently. So. But,
my mom says the same thing.
Yeah. Well, your mom is so hot, by the way. So congratulations.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Dude, if you got it, flaunt it. You know what I mean? Like, instead of being made fun of in high school, if you had a hot mom, I would just be like, hell yeah, and I was sucking those titties. You know what I mean?
You're fucking terrible. This is the most vulgar show so far, by far and away. Dan Bogosian's would have been nastier, but I edited out like 5 minutes where he talked about his parents screwing. I'm not even kidding.
Dude, we used to have so much fun. You mentioned him. He's is he still at Raby right now? I don't know where is he.
No, dude. No, he's out of Raby. He's back in Connecticut right now. He's working with his band and doing shows and stuff.
But I remember we used to consistently tweet everybody in the morning because he was actually. So I work for a radio station in the morning. I work for like the news and stuff in the morning. I do the Gun shows Wednesday and Sunday nights. But in the morning, like for some reason, you would be up, he would be up, and like whatever, we'd just all tweet each other, or like it was a daily thing going on for a while. And then I think I blew it. So sorry about that.
Well, you kept calling me James, asshole.
I did keep calling you by the wrong name. Here's the thing, I don't mean to be an asshole. I really don't mean to be an asshole, but. And I don't even think I have ADD unless like I developed it later in life, but like or ADHD or either of those. It's I just am horrible with like remembering things, like certain things. But then I'll remember like the quirkiest and weirdest thing about somebody or like a situation, and like it's cool like when you're dating and stuff because it's like
yeah,
oh that's so sweet. How'd you remember that? But on the flip side, it's like I have no idea when your birthday is or what your middle name. So it's, but I know that you love Bob's Burgers. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. Yeah. You know, I give you a hard time for it, but it's an easy mistake. James and I were both from Under the Gun. We both have J names. Like, it's not too far off. Jake and James. We get confused all the time.
Dude, you've been a homie, man, and you've helped me through you know some breaking news situations. I'll never forget that. And also, like I said, man, we all had a bunch of fun those for a while. And once again, it's cool that you know we're all up on the next level. I guess we could say, right?
Yeah, man, we've had some craziness. I've only met you twice. First time was at Skate and Surf in like 2012, 2013, whatever. Fall Out Boy came back, and then the second time was the first APMA Awards. And I don't think we talked much. You just like tapped me on the shoulder. You're like, "Yo, Tender, take a picture of me and Chris Conley."
Did I really?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, man, love you, dude, but take a picture of me and Chris Conley, please.
And I did.
Yeah, and you did. I definitely remember the Skate and Surf. At least I think we were like in line or some shit like that. It's like, yo, what up?
Yeah, we met at check-in. We met at check-in. And then you ignored all of my texts while you're backstage at Fall Out Boy. I'm like, Guns, get me back there. Get me back there. And you're just, like, looking at your phone. I'm watching you look at your phone, and you're completely fucking ignoring me.
I'm sorry. My bad, dude. That was, well, that was a wild, that was fun. That was a... that was when all the permits got revoked, like the last minute, and then half the band didn't want to play. It was pouring rain.
That was rough.
They were worried about getting electrocuted. I remember Lights was literally almost crying before she had to go out because she's like, you know, this
afraid
is
of it.
Years ago, and like their equipment's obviously better now as every band's gotten like bigger. And she was like, I have no idea if I'm going to get shocked right now. And she was like,
oh my God, dude, yeah.
And there was no cover over, and it was like torrential downpour. And they had to stop the rides, but yet they let these musicians go out there with like open end cables. Like the wireless wasn't, you couldn't even get wireless back then, or not even back then, because the storm was so bad that there was no signals coming through. So everyone had to go to like back to hard lines. And they're like,
yeah,
does this even work anymore? Like I'm plugging it in my guitar. Like what is that about? You know?
Yeah, dude, I remember watching both Paradise Fears and Cartel in the pouring rain. It was awesome.
Hell yeah. Oh, man, I miss both bands. I talked to Will a couple weeks ago. He's actually, we talked about fantasy football, and he's doing pretty well. He says be on the lookout for some surprise things happening with him. So.
Oh, yeah? Some music stuff?
Yeah, there's a little tease right there for you. So.
Sweet. He's doing production
Yeah,
a
he's
lot
producing
recently.
A lot, but this might actually have to do with him himself, so.
Thank God. Yeah. That's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. But no, things are going well. Last couple of days have been just ridiculous. But ridiculously good. I don't know if you're the same way. Like, part of my like work ethic was always I'd rather do something than not do something. But if I was going to do something, I wanted to, you know, devote a lot of time and energy into it. Like, I don't like playing the game. Like, I play the game a little bit, but on the flip side, it's like, all right, like, if I'm going to do something, I want to devote time. I just want to be like, oh, I did this because to do it. You're like, no, fuck that. Like, I want to, if I'm doing it, like, I want to do it. But it's just a lot's been going on, man, because concert season is starting to pick up again.
Yeah, it is.
You know? And so it just a bunch of shows has been going on with that. And then, like, I just here on the East Coast, like we the Mets made the playoffs for one night only. That was last night. So I covered that last night. And then I got back at, like, 1:32 a.m. And then I start work at 3:30 a.m. So I passed that on
Yikes, dude.
So that was a quick turnaround. And then I went to Comic-Con today, and which is very intense. I don't follow comic books at all, but, like...
Yeah.
Dude, Comic-Con is intense, and
it's like a huge deal.
It's a huge deal, man. There were 30,000 plus people dropping like $200-$300 a day for like the pass or whatever, and it was nuts, man, because some of these kids like really devote them time. So I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I just stoked out and stalked out the musicians that were there, because that's the
Who'd you get to talk to?
Well, so Billy from Good Charlotte. Apparently, I didn't even know this, by the way, because I just, like, someone's like, oh, well, go see Billy. And I was like, yeah, man, I fucking love Billy. Like, Good Charlotte's back. They're getting ready to tour. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw him at the APMAs for a little bit, but, you know, Benji, like, Joel, I would say Joel I know the best out of Good Charlotte. But I've known the dudes for years since I remember seeing them open for Newfound Glory on the self-titled album that Good Charlotte had.
Right.
So that was really bad. That was this place called Birch Hill, New Jersey, and that was really back in the day. And Benji, of course, had, you know, the spiked purple hair, you know, all that shit. And but Joel actually has like a part of an investment or works with Adobe, so
yeah,
with the gun shows on. So I know Joel the best, and then Benj would be second, and then I guess Billy would be like probably fourth or what, like whatever, if I'm doing fourth or whatever you're going through. Paul would be third because Paul was actually on gun show a couple times, but Billy knows where I am and like stuff. So he actually is doing the he's one of the drawers for the TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, actual comic books.
Dude, no shit. The dudes that invented the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are from my hometown.
Oh, word? Yeah, so there was a huge... Yeah, so... Oh, well, that's fucking wild, by the way. Hell yeah to that. Yeah. I was a huge fan. Michelangelo, you kidding me? Hell yeah. But but he was so, like, he was signing as part of, like, the TMNT, like, panel and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, and, like, nobody really knew him as Billy from Good Charlotte. Of course, I go up to him afterwards. He goes, what up, bro? I'm like, what up? So, let's talk music. I was like, I don't understand anything. So then but also I went to Claudia from Coheed.
Yes, dude, yes.
Who is, as far as I'm concerned, Coheed didn't create the concept album, but established the concept album for our genre, you know, our scene or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so I went to him. I saw his thing and everything. He's signing tomorrow, and Gerard Way will be there as well tomorrow as well.
Oh, cool. Is Max there?
Max Bemis is not there. Okay. I do love Max Bemis. Are you seeing him with Conley? I guess, what's it, Two Tongues or whatever? I think they're...
yeah, dude, I'm hoping to. Like, I only got a follow for Max because I was a fan of Two Tongues when nobody was a fan of Two Tongues.
Dude, he's one of the better dudes by far. I love Max Bemis. So,
well, that's crazy. Who sent you there? Who sent you to Comic-Con?
So, I've gone... This is my second year doing it. Because of the news organization I work for or whatever, I can kind of get credentials more so, mm-hmm. but... Than other things, but I knew that I wanted to do it. I'm covering it for the news that I work for, but also a lot of it's going to be on the Gun Show as well. I'm kind of pulling double duty there. But if it's like, it's very hard to get credentialed. So if I try to do things that are hard to get credentialed, even though Adobe Radio is established and everything, I'll pull the ABC card if I need to.
Yeah, of course. That's a little bigger.
Yeah, like it's a little bigger, but like on the flip side, like it's funny, like. You know, just certain events like APMAs, obviously I'm always in Adobe or Warped Tour or just shows and stuff. You know, it's Adobe because I'm the one pushing, promoting, you know, bringing up unsigned bands or brand new, newly signed band and shit. So
right, right.
But this I wanted to make sure I got to. It was very intense. I'm going to go back tomorrow, but we'll see. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. Say it to Claudio for me. He's my favorite.
Dude, he is a genius. It was funny because I was talking. He has people that know him that work for him in his booth or whatever that have known him like former music people. Mm-hmm. And we were saying that like I remember like you know Thrice opening for Coheed opening for Thursday, and I was like that's why I was like dude, could you imagine if that happened right now? It was that tour was one of my favorites I ever went to. I went to multiple dates. Couldn't drive. Yeah. Maybe I was just starting to drive. I don't even know, but it was Thrice. Coheed Thursday. Oh,
that's
my
a killer lineup.
If that happened now, that would be nuts, dude.
I wouldn't put it out of the question.
God, it'd be so rad. I mean, you're like I said, just a little younger than me, but dude, but I know that you grew up on music, man. And like, when you look back, I mean, like a lot of the innovators, we were spoiled. We got to see in small fucking shows that really made an impact and a big impact in this scene by far.
Yeah, dude, with like Panic at the Disco and Acceptance. And the Starting Line opening up for another band, you know?
Right. Hell yeah. Imagine
crazy.
That. Yeah. The thing with Acceptance is, and I love Jason and obviously Christian from Anne Boleyn as well. Mm-hmm. Not that many people liked Acceptance when they came out. It's almost it's like a cool thing now to like Acceptance. I'm just happy that people are liking them. Their reunion shows went very well, were sold out all over the place. But I mean, they only put out one album when you really think about it. And shows have like, you know, 350 people there. Like that's, you know, it's good for an album, but like now they're selling out, you know, 1,100 cap venues.
Yeah.
why do you think that is? Do you think they were ahead of their time or like why are people interested today?
It's a good question, and you know, we struggle with that, I think, especially with you know, these genres of music that we put ourselves in. I don't know. I don't know if there was, because they had a unique sound for sure. Like Take Cover and this conversation and the Conversation Dover, et cetera. Like two great songs still to this day that I love. I don't know if it was oversaturation of music or if people were just so tired that they were trying to move on, or maybe people were looking for, this actually might be it, people were looking for a gimmick and they didn't really have a gimmick. They just went up there and played music.
Yeah.
And maybe like people were just like, oh, it's not, you know, it's not bringing me in. But now, I don't know if it's a cool thing to do or people perhaps got older and they were like, fuck, why didn't I like Acceptance when I was...
Exactly. Kind of like that, you know, that fear of missing out thing where they're like, they come up upon it after people are talking about it on Twitter and they're like, what's this? I always hear about this band. What is this? What is this? And then they check it out and they're like, oh shit, this was great. And they start digging it. And then like, man, I kind of wish they would have kept going. And then when they come back, they're like, oh yeah. Yeah, now I get to, you know, round two. I get to get in on this.
And that is the beauty about music, and that's the beauty about what we do, is the fact that I grew up a huge Blink fan. I'm a huge fucking Blink-182 fan. Tom DeLonge, like, fucking love him. You know, did my first TV thing, how I got in the industry, I was going into sophomore year of high school. I was young as fuck. Take Off Your Pants and Jacket maybe had just come out by this time, because I think it was a June release for that. And it was over this. It was that following school year, so it was that fall semester, not semester, but whatever quarter period. Mm-hmm. And I went and did this show called MTV Becoming, and you would become the band. And I had to like, there was like 350 of us in line. Like my mom drove me to New York for like the first time, and like I wore like Dickie shorts, black Dickie shorts, Atticus shirt, backwards Atticus hat. I think I had Vans on at the time because Macbeth wasn't around. And then I brought like my Fender Strat because you wanted to, you know, pretend to be the person and like beat out everybody and ended up doing one and all this shit. And like, you know, I was in school still, but like would have to go to the city a bunch and sign all these waivers because I was the youngest one by far, but I was a huge Blink fan. But the cool thing about liking Blink was they turned me on to NoFX, Screeching Weasel, fucking, you know, obviously I knew who Goldfinger was because Here in Your Bedroom was a big single, like even on the radio on the East Coast. But, you know, you learn from the predecessors. And that's why when like a band like State Champs or Knuckle Puck or bands that are on now, like that are starting to blow up a little bit, like they learn from, you know, they love, you know, whether it's Newfound or people like people that are starting now are like, yeah, we love the Wonder Years. Like that was our inspiration, which is wild to us because we've seen the Wonder Years for 7-8 years now, you know what I mean, like, and we fucking love them still, but that's just how the you know, the paradigm or the, you know, the world keeps spinning when it comes to music. So
yeah, man, I mean, it's generations, like everybody's got an influence somewhere, and you know, especially now with the internet, it's a lot fucking easier to find new stuff to listen to. So you know, new bands that are starting today or tomorrow, they're listening to State Champs and The Hotelier and Pine Grove, you know, like they're listening to those bands, which is crazy because they're, you know, they're still fairly on the up and up.
It was funny. I hit up State Champs not too long ago. Love State Champs, by the way.
Yeah.
But this was before Warped Tour, and I can play whatever I want on the Gun Show, like literally. So when you tune into the Gun Show, I can play. I'll play your requests if you have requests, but I also refuse to really play singles. So it's not like the emo night that I DJ or whatever where I'll be like, oh, yeah, here we go. Here's a Elena from My Chemical Romance. And that's cool because that's like what the crowd wants, like what I want at that time, because it's a Friday night. It's midnight. We're all there. It's sold out. Everyone, half the 85% of people are hammered, and they're like, oh, shit, I haven't heard this song in forever. That's that concept. But on the Gun Show, that's not my concept. I'll play popular bands, but I try not to play singles. So with Motion City, I'm not playing Everything Goes All Right. I'm playing, you know, fucking track 7, you know, whatever. That if you own the album, you understand it. And so it's a way of giving back to like the real fans out there. But State Champs, I was, you know, just I can play what I wanted. I was going through, and I forget what I played. I played something off their fucking demo, it was rough. And I remember texting Derek. I was on the air, and I remember texting him and be like, dude, I forget what the fuck. It might have been Critical or something like that. But it was like a demo version of it. And I go, dude, your old stuff is like pretty rough to listen to. He goes, dude, oh my God. I was like, you guys have improved so much, but also like the recording quality. Like if you listened to like those like mini guitar solos, like if they were writing those songs now, it would be so much better. But listening back, I was like laughing. I was like, dude, you know, I love you. Like I love State Champs a lot, but it's so funny when you look back, even for a band like them, and you're just like, wow, they've really have come a long way, you know?
Yeah. No, they really have. I mean, they've had some member changes over the years, and that's like really improved the sound, but they've got so solid.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. And if a band like they win, I think, you know, with State Champs, like I've said this in the past, like if a Wonder Years gets big or even bigger, hopefully with the, you know, with the new album and stuff or the next step for them, I think we all win, you know? Neck Deep, I love Neck Deep. Like I don't love Neck Deep. Like, all right, I'm a fan of Neck Deep by far. I like Ben. I like Ben a lot. We've had a lot of cool times together. He's a good dude, as far as I know, or as far as I'm concerned. You know, their new album, I don't think it was innovative. Wasn't like anything crazy for them. And that's what you're gonna get on the Gun Show or with me. Like, I'm not gonna bullshit. The new album's definitely better. But can they go further and farther with the next one? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's just, are they going to do it? I think they will, but I don't think they've really experimented with too much of a change with this new one. Doesn't matter. They're still killing it. Songs are definitely better, but you know that they have the potential. It's just,
they just got to take that step.
If they're able to, whether it's them or the label yelling at them or management being like, oh, you can't do this, whatever the forces are, you know, it's the fucking music industry. So it sucks.
So you kind of start this whole like music industry thing imitating members of Blink-182 in New York City. At what point, you know, did you like decide to make it a thing? Because I know you went to school in NYC, right? You went to Fordham University for broadcast journalism and political science. So that makes sense. Like that you fit that. Like it seems like you actually did something with that degree. But at what point did you kind of get involved with the industry? What was your first, I guess, gig?
Well, I wouldn't say imitating Blink-182. The way I became a big Blink fan was because I grew up in Jersey, and my next-door neighbor, who ended up being the lead singer of this band called New Atlantic at the time, or years later he became New Atlantic. He went to high school, and he was a freshman, and the junior, the guy who was a junior, and I was, I think, maybe sixth grade at this time. I think he's 3 or 4 years older than me now. Yeah, so sixth grade maybe, he brought me to a show. The band was called Nowhere Fast. Well, Nowhere Fast featured two members from what would become Midtown. So I kind of befriended them. Lo and behold, one of the members from that band, Nowhere Fast, my dad taught, because my dad was a teacher, and my dad taught. He's like, oh, yeah, my son's been playing guitar. And he's like, oh, well, I'm a guitarist. Well, that was when Heath just started Midtown. This is before the Sacrifice of Life EP even came out. I was sixth grade, I was. And so all of a sudden, like, I have Heath from Midtown coming over every Thursday for 30 minutes. I paid him $15 to show me, like, how to – he, quote-unquote, came over to show me how to rock because I was taking classical and jazz lessons. So this is all – dude, I was young as fuck. That's what I was saying. And then, like, by 7th grade and 8th grade, they're signed to Drive Thru. A Newfound Glory was there too as well. RX Bandits, and then bands that no one's ever heard of. This is before – Alistair, this is before Homegrown got signed. So I'm like 7th, 8th grade, and I kind of got befriended by Drive Thru and was like, hey, like they had nothing. You know what I mean? And like, it was just wild. So I started with that. So I knew I always wanted to be involved in music. You know, from Midtown, I learned about Blink and was a big Green Day fan from Woodstock 94. I would go back and watch those on video, VHS at the time. You know, saw Billy Joel, that whole entire thing. So I knew I wanted to be involved in music. And so I started working at Sam Goody's as a freshman. I was 14 because that was the only place that would hire somebody that was underage or whatever, you know.
That's like a good place to work.
Yeah, hell yeah. So I saw the retail side of things, met like label reps that would come through, saw the booking side of things and from local shows and, you know, promoter side. But for a while, I thought I was going to be – I knew that I wanted to be like out there. I was obviously in a band myself, and I was like, the odds of making it in a band are like 1 in 300,000 at the time, you know, especially with no internet really, besides mp3.com and Pure Volume, when Pure Volume was relevant. And I started working more with labels and stuff, and I realized when I went to college my first semester, I was at MCA, which was Geffen.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much just in a cubicle, and I was like, this is not what I want to do. I was like, I want to work with bands, but I don't want to fucking feel like none of my effort is going anywhere. Like, I refuse to be in a cubicle. Now, I had done some television stuff before that because I did the MTV thing, and then Much Music came down from Canada, and they brought me along kind of as, like, you know, audience member, but also, like, oh, well, you can fill in here, whatever, do some dry runs. So I was like, I kind of combined the both, and I was like, let me help music, but also help by talking to the audience out there and listeners and fans. I still to this day love walking the lines and talking to kids outside and being like, what are you listening to these days? Or, hey, you should check out this band. Or, you know, I used to write on back of posters and cardboard boxes that with that merch used to have and write with a Black Magic marker, be like myspace.com/thegunshow. And I would hold it up and like walk the line. You know what I mean? Kind of like some bands do at Warped Tour. I was doing this at shows in New York City, whether it was for 40 kids or whether it was fucking for 1,500. And I needed to find that balance between helping and supporting music, which I fucking love, and also building a name and a kind of a brand for myself. And I realized the music industry wasn't the way to do it for me. But broadcasting via, well, Adobe and, you know, also like the Gun Show and just kind of becoming a personality myself, it's kind of the best of both worlds right now, man. So when I went to school, it was for broadcasting, but I double majored with political science because I thought that it was also important to know what the hell was going on in the world.
Yeah, and you're always really up to date on your shit. I mean, you know, we don't really talk politics much, but I enjoy, you know, following you. And in years past, you know, you and Mike Shea talking about various politics on like Instagram comments and Twitter and shit. That was always fun for me to watch.
Yeah, I think it's very important to be, especially now more than ever. There's so many trolls out there, and there's so many false news stories and just everything. But it's not that, oh, if you don't learn history, it's going to repeat itself. But also, you want to know the whys. I think the whys are very important. I read, some people are like, oh, well, you work for Fox. I don't work for Fox. I'm on Fox, but yeah. I've been on MSNBC. I've been on Dr. Drew. Like, I've been on other liberal outlets. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I always read the other, quote unquote, other side more than I read my own side, because you want to know, like, you want to learn. And I think it's so hard now. Like, if you really talk to people, it's like, you know, the average person who's fucking yelling all over Facebook probably doesn't know their own goddamn congressman, or they're probably not even registered to vote themselves. So yeah. Really, like, what are you yelling at me or like spewing your shit out there for when you're not even given educated opinions? You know what I mean? Like, at least learn. Like, just learn. So that's why I thought political science would be a cool thing and an important thing to kind of really, like, get that background for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. So you're doing the gun show. You've been doing this how long? When did you actually kick that show off?
I started I guess that goes with that broadcasting question, which I kind of diverted from. So I knew that I wanted to do broadcasting, and I hit up Adobe when I was junior or senior in college. I was like, hey, I'm guns. I want to do this. They're like, Guns, we know you from Absolute Punk. Like, you know, like, yeah, we're familiar with who you are and, like, the music industry. I was like, cool. They're like, we'll give you a one-hour tryout, and it'll be this Sunday. And I'm like, sweet. Half my equipment didn't work. You know how it is with it was a live show, but so podcast is a little bit different, but it was like a live show, and it was like, you could only hear me out of one ear. I had no idea what the hell I was talking about. My clutch word at the time was fuck, because so, you know, I wasn't really honed down on the broadcasting style, how to talk. So anytime something, like, I didn't know what to say, I would just say, fuck. So, like, it was bad. But it ended up working out great, and we started. So it's been going on for a good amount of years now, 6-7 years or so, and started from, not from the bottom. Well, Adobe started from the bottom, but that was a couple years before I got there. But now we're here, man. We're fucking making some moves. We are, couple years back, we got accepted into Triton Digital Ratings, which is kind of it's like the Nielsen ratings for television, but they so Triton is like the Nielsen for internet radio or for internet streams, but they just don't accept everybody, because anybody in the world can have a fucking stream, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you got Shoutcast, you can do it, right?
Yeah, so you have to, you know, put through, and like, finally, once you get accepted. So right now it goes last look, it was Pandora was number one with the most session opens. Number two was Clear Channel with 700 stations, whatever the fuck they have.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Three was Cox Media, and which also has a bunch. And we were six, and with one station we were six. And ESPN Radio, which has ESPN LA, ESPN Chicago, ESPN New York, you know, all those affiliates together were number eight.
That's crazy.
Dude, that's fucking mental. We're one station, dude. Like, we don't have affiliates, dude. That's fucking mental. And shout out to all the fans and the listeners out there. You know, we average like 5.7 mil, 5.5 mil each month. And, you know, I kind of just, that's how I came aboard. And, you know, we started, I had just a couple thousand listeners, and now it's just been fucking crazy, man.
That's crazy. What are you at now? The last statistics I saw, I think I was looking up, like, your you guys go you do your ads through the mid-roll, I think, right?
Probably.
Okay, you that's not your bag. They handle that.
Yeah, I know, dude. I do my live reads. I talk to sponsors that I agree with, and I go on the air, do what I do. We have the people. Let the people that deal with that deal with that. You know what I'm saying? But.
Yeah, but man, you've got, like, I mean, these are numbers that I have. I don't know how old they are, but you've got 120,000 listeners every single freaking week. How is that possible, dude? That's awesome.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the that great support that you just gave.
That's great, man.
That big question where you're just like, how does that happen?
Well, no. Don't take it the wrong way. That's just great, though. Like, I mean, for me, I love Adobe, and in college, I had it on all the time. If I was just like, you know, if I was like writing news articles for Under the Gun and shit, I would just have that on the background. There was a ton of good shows I liked on there at the time. Bayside had a show on there, which was really cool. Like, your show. Sarah Scoggins has a show on there now, which is really neat. But, you know, even between the shows, like, the music was always great. I was always finding new stuff that I wasn't even aware of on that station. So, you know, I was listening to that all the time. But, you know, nowadays, like, I don't have the app on my phone. I haven't had it in a few years. But, like, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's a little harder to put that on than to just, you know, listen to a podcast or something you already have on your phone. You know what I mean? So I think it's super impressive that Adobe pulls the numbers that they do and that you've got 120,000 people listening to you every single week.
Yeah, it's definitely insane. It's just about having, like, I think I have just a unique situation because rather than just be like, oh, I'm doing a podcast, like, I think I'm also more – this might sound like a cocky or whatever, but, you know, I've worked my ass off for this now for 10-plus years and – you know, you have to have your ear on the pulse. And also, like, I guess my personality, like, this is what I want to do. I'm doing what I want to fucking do. Mm-hmm. Like, I live this. You know what I mean? I'm the guy screaming, bawling, even though it might be annoying as hell. But I have no shame. You know, I'm the one that's out there. And if people are going to ever, and, you know, they come and go, they're like, oh, question my credentials. Like, no, fuck you. You don't know half the shit that I did to get this far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it's just having your pulse to the ground and your ear to the ground. And, you know, just Adobe's been very supportive and very helpful. And we've been making some moves. But, yeah, man, I mean, if you slack around, you're going to get beat. And I don't like losing. So, fuck yeah.
Guns, what is the origin of ballin'?
That's a very good question. All I know is that it's got very a lot of connotations to it because you can be like, ballin', which is like, you know, what I'll scream during a show, like during a breakdown, I'll be like, ballin', yeah. Or I'll be like, yeah, dude, do you want to ball later? Which means like, yeah, do you want to hang out later? Or be like, oh, ballin'? Like someone would tell me something, oh, ballin', question mark? And then somebody tells me something else, like in a group chat or whatever, I'll be like, dude, not ballin'. And like other people say it now too, it's like not cool, like, dude, not ballin'. And people be like, not ballin' at all, actually. I was like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah, let's ball. You know what I mean? Or like, yeah. So there's a lot of different connotations to it. I love it. It's been going on for a while. People tell me sometimes that I should get a new word. But in the end, like, fuck it, man. It's literally – I think I'm like the sixth definition on Urban Dictionary a couple of years ago. Somebody put me up there as ballin', like, a word overused by Guns of the Gun Show.
That's pretty good. That's good.
But it kind of just came down from – I really have no idea. I really cannot remember. I know Jim Jones has the "We Fly High, Ballin'," you know.
Yeah. I remember that from middle school.
Yeah, exactly. But I definitely didn't get it from Jim Jones. No, hell no. So
how much of the show is live? You do this twice a week, right? You do it on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Right, besides specials that we'll do here and there. I am, unless I have like another event. So, for example, last night I had the Mets wild card playoff game. Which I had obviously had to go to. That was an 8:05 first pitch. The Gun Show is usually always live, but it's definitely always live, unless I have an event that day, or if I'm on the road, or if I'm in a fucking somewhere, you know. Interviews, I try to do them live as much as possible.
Okay, but sometimes that's not possible.
Sometimes it's very not possible because you can have, like, I had Mr. Wives on this past Wednesday. Well, Mr. Wise wasn't able to do it on Wednesday because they were doing whatever. So we had to tape them on Monday, and they were driving through Ohio at the time. It's actually a very fucking hilarious interview. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, well, we're going to be in the road. We can't do it live. Or a lot of times, not to say I have bigger bands, but, you know, sometimes I have bigger, larger bands on the Gun Show.
Yeah.
And so I do a 9 o'clock hard start, 9 to midnight. Everyone's on stage, or no one wants to talk an hour before. So, like, even if you're on the West Coast, no one's talking an hour and a half before they. You know how shows are; it's chaos backstage. No one's gonna fucking sit down
no
and talk.
Doing that. Yeah. No.
So, like, the Gun Show is live, but sometimes I do have to pre-tape interviews. Mm-hmm. I've had quite the interviews. I've had people call me from casinos where they would put the phone down every time they played another hand because you can't have your phone. You can't have your phone in your ear while you're on the while you're actually playing. So there were a lot of about 15-second breaks there where they would come back, see like another roulette hand go by and then, or a roulette ball, and then they'd go back, put me on hold, come back. Yeah, I've had that. I've had people call me completely blacked out of their minds. I've had people call me. New Orleans is always fun. When I've had random bands call me and just be like, yo, put us on the air. And I'll be like, okay. When certain huge band. One of the members got put into Disney jail for jumping into the Epcot water. That was a the tour manager called me, and we put them on the air, cursing out Disney. So, like, that. So the live feel is there, man. They jumped into the fucking, the one dude jumped
in. Who was that?
I'm not going to say who, but it's a big, okay. It's a big band out there. And somebody jumped into the water, because what you do in Epcot, I don't know if you've ever been to Disney World. Have you been there or no?
Is that the one in Florida? No, I've just been to the one in Cali.
So there's different, like, worlds or whatever in Disney World, and one of them is Epcot. And what they do is each thing has another country, and so it's called Drink Around the World. So you get one drink from every country. The thing is, it's like 28 countries there. So, like, if you go to England, it's like, oh, well, drink a whatever the fuck England gives us. And, like, if you go to Germany, it's like, oh, well, they only have, you know, lagers there. Or if you go to, you know, Belgium,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, yeah. So the goal is to try to get through all of them or see how far you could go. Well, obviously, it turns very bad. And somebody, and they have a huge water pond in the middle, and one of the guys jumped in and got put into Disney jail, which is a real thing. It's a real thing. It's an underground jail that they have. Because nobody gets – who gets arrested in Disney World? Nobody. Except,
not many.
Except these – except a friend that I think me and you both know. So obviously everyone was kind of hammered. They call in. They're like, blah, blah, blah. Just got put into Disney jail. Fuck this. Like, I was like, well, he was swimming in the pond. Like, you can't do that. So the gun, it's a lot of fun, man. And, you know, sometimes if a band cancels, I'll just text somebody and be like, fuck it. Come on. You know, Transit used to do that a lot. Mano used to come on a lot. Somerset used to be able to. Now they're a little bit bigger and, like, on the road a lot more. So it's hard to be like, Brian, what are you doing? I need you to talk for 10 minutes. Like,
right.
He can't do that as much now. But it was fun. I think all that, man, led me to be as, you know, quote-unquote successful, or as quote-unquote, big as the gun show's gotten. But most important, though, it's the fans. So it's me giving back to the fans, you know, for those fun moments.
That's good stuff, dude. And, you know, anytime you need somebody, somebody cancels on you, maybe you can finally have me on the show. I've only been asking for 3 years.
I need you on the show, first of all. especially after tonight, man. You're good. I was I said to you, I was like, I don't know if we've ever actually spoken on the phone.
No.
Live, it's just internet, man. You've been a loyal supporter, and you're a good dude, man. I definitely consider you a friend. I remember one time I called you the wrong name and you yelled at me and you're like, I'm sick and tired of this shit. And I was like, dude, I literally came back a couple days.
That was a rough week, dude.
I literally came back a couple days later and I think I wrote you and I was like, dude, my bad. Just know that I'm not doing it like to be a dick. It's like,
I know you didn't. You know, I was half ribbing you. You know that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm just very, dude, it's, you know, I'm more of like, when I see people in public, it's more of the like head nod and like, what's up, dude? I'm just very bad with names. I'll know faces, but I'm just horrible with names. But whatever.
It's all good, dude. I know it's all love. It's all good.
We should definitely have you on, man. Loved it. I used to have Jason Tate back in the day.
Yeah.
One of my favorite interviews with Tate was he said to check out this band called Brand New. It was before the first Skate and Surf. And we had him on. We had Tate on. And that was... when he said, check out this band called Brand New, I think they're going to be doing something. Like, they might have, I think they're special. And that was the weekend of the Jude Law music video that was being taped. So that was back in the day. So I had, you know, a lot of good times with him. And
Jason's ahead of the curve, man.
Yeah. Well, me and him kind of like did it together. And we were both Blink fans and Midtown fans. And like,
right.
So me and him, like, he did that platform. I kind of did the, you know, I was all right. Like, we have a unique thing together. Like, we don't talk nearly as much as we used to, but I still consider, I had a lot of good times with him. And he got a lot of shit for a while, you know, made some decisions here and there. But, I think if I ever really needed him, I think he'd come through for me. You know.
Now he's a good guy, dude. I've talked about it on the show here before, but you know, I was kind of on the outs with him for a long time because we were part of that, you know, Absolute Voices deal with Spin,
right?
And that was like, it was shit. It sucked. It sucked for everybody. And you know, we were kind of on the outs for a long time, but recently after Chorus, you know, was starting to, just before the launch, he invited me to the beta and we got to talking a little bit and you know, just kind of like hash stuff out because it's like, yeah, I had disagreements with what stuff that he was doing, but at the same time I wasn't considering all the shit that he was going through too. I didn't even think like I'm having a terrible time. What's he thinking? Because he's, you know, his site's bigger to him. It's actually his career. And it was good to talk to the dude. He's a really great guy, and I wish the best for Chorus. It seems to be doing pretty well, so it's cool to see it going.
Like you said, you're doing your thing. I have no problem supporting you, man. And, you know, it's we've known each other now for quite some time. But we'll get you on, man. We'll get you liquored up. We'll get you on the air. We'll fucking have some fun.
So your show is live most of the time. It's on Sundays, Wednesdays, or all the time. But you do put a podcast, too. I didn't know that until recently. I was poking around on my podcast app, and I just happened to search your name, and there it goes. There's the Gun Show podcast. It looks like all the Adobe shows seem to have podcasts now. So are they just editing that down, editing out the music, and just like putting in like the vocal parts and putting that out as the
feed? I haven't really been promoting my podcast too much. I just started it about like, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. A couple of the other shows had them. Mike Herrera's had one now for a while or whatever. Because my show is, whether it's talk, my show is also a lot of music. And the thing is, on podcasts, you can't, I'm told, I don't, like, once again, I don't know how this works. I'm told that you can't really play the songs. You can only play clips. Well, a lot of my show is music involved as well. I'll play three songs in a row, like, and people are like, oh, shit, and then bam, come back and talk, etc. So it's hard to put that all into a podcast because you can't include the actual music.
Exactly.
And a lot of the feel for the Gun Show is that music. It's that live music vibe. It's the, you know what? I just played the song. I don't want to fucking hear the song. And I'll cut the song off and I'll tell my audience, I don't feel that song right now. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it's an experience when you do it. So podcast for me is a little difficult. But now, specifically, though, the interviews are going up now on podcast, which is rad. So you can check out the podcast. The other shows have been doing them a lot longer than I have. Mine, like, I have my interview page. You can see all the old school shit. Like, you can – I've all – you know, I've done – all sorts of interviews, man, and you know, we've done it all. So but they're just not all on podcasts just yet. That's kind of a new thing that's just started happening like a month and a half ago for me. But
yeah, it's cool, dude. You're putting some old ones up there too, which is sweet. I was going through some of the most recent ones just to catch your most recent interviews. I listened to the Dana White one. I know nothing about fighting, but I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I was going back and then you guys reposted that the interview you did with Craig Owens just before Drugs dropped.
Dude,
I remember listening to that live, man.
Oh,
that
word? Was, nice, yeah. Man. Dude, ah. Oh. That's awesome. That's literally, if you can tell from my voice, I actually have a smile on my face right now. That's so rad, man. That was a good one because I didn't really, like, I knew him, but I didn't really know him. And plus, he was going through all, you know, he was a fucking head case. Not a head case, but Craig Owens went through some shit. For anybody that knows the band, he went through some shit, especially Chiodos days. And it was right before. I thought that was a really good interview, man, because he opened up to me. And I think a lot of artists kind of open up to me that they don't to others. I don't know, it's just because they know that my background or whatever it is, or just my approach to it or whatever, but we get some pretty cool exclusives, or more so people seem to be a little bit more open with us. They tell us off the record stuff. I'm not going to drop it. I think they like that trust factor as well, because other people have broken that rule, and that I think doesn't always work with people. So, but that was a fun man, dude. That band, dude, that album that Drugs put out was fucking, I mean, there were some hits on that, dude.
I agree, dude. Like, I listened to it. Some of it doesn't hold up quite as much, but a lot of it does, you know? Like, I think anything Feldman makes, like, has lasting power. And there was so much of Feldman in that record. Like, there's no way that it isn't going to stand up over time.
Yeah, and at that time, Feldman wasn't even doing a lot. Like, now he's on, you know, everything now.
Yeah, 5 Seconds of Summer launched him, like...
Yeah, kind of like rebrought him in there, like Blink, obviously, and like, you know, felt, and he's been doing some other things as well. But at that time, you got to realize he wasn't really doing too much. Mm. And that album, Graveyard Dancing, and that song Sex or whatever, like they had some hits on it. So that's so funny that you brought that one up. Oh my God! Wow.
Well, I recently hung out with Craig. I mean, I guess it's been almost maybe a year now, but he was recording a record with Hotel Books. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're signed to Invogue here in Ohio. And they invited me down to the studio in Columbus, and Craig was, you know, he was working on the record and hanging out. So he invited me down there, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And it was cool because, you know, last I interacted with him, he essentially, you know, his team kind of blacklisted me because I might have leaked some information about the Chiodos, the last Chiodos record. So they weren't like too cool with what I was doing. But, you know, when we hung out, it was all love, and he was, like, super open, and, like, we just got to, like, talk about shit, just, like, life stuff, what's going on with him, what's going on with me, and, like, super open and honest guy. And, you know, he's had his days, but, you know, things are good for him now, I think, and it was good to kind of talk.
He's definitely in a better place now, and I don't know if it was ever, like, I'm sure he was probably in a bad place. Like, I didn't mean it's like, it just, like, if anybody knows, it's just like Anthony Green. Anthony Green went through some shit. He talks about it. Same with Craig Owens. Like, they went through some fucking shit. You know, and sometimes that has an effect on a personality when you're dealing with people, but I've never had a bad experience with Craig. And Anthony, I just saw a couple weeks ago on his solo tour. I fucking love Anthony Green. He's come a very long way. And his vocals are second to none, man. Oh, my God, dude. He's so fucking talented. So,
yeah.
No, I agree, dude. He's doing so much cool stuff. And, like, just being back with Seiya, so that makes my heart happy. If it's not going to be Tillian Peterson, let it be Anthony Green, you know?
There you go. My man. Hell yeah.
Interchangeable. I think going both ways, I would be stoked with whoever ended up getting it. But when Anthony said he was coming back, I'm like, yes, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, no, he's definitely one of the better ones by far. So it was good to see him do his solo stuff. And then even on the Taste of Chaos, it was rad because it was, you know, Taking Back Sunday. It was early November. It was Dashboard. It was a good fit. So
yeah.
So you've had a lot of really great interviews over the past couple of years, but I want to know who your white whales are. Who have you not been able to talk to that you're dying to get on the show?
Well, this is going to be, dude, I've been so fortunate. Who do I want to have back on? I want to have Haley back on.
Okay.
I had Haley on. I've had her on twice, I think. She's a sweetheart. She rules. We'll tweet back and forth. Anytime we see each other, it's rad. I don't get to see her that much, obviously, but
yeah. Well, she retweeted me once, man. That made my year.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I would like to have her back on. I think it'll happen once, you know, they're done recording this new album. I had DeLong on. I loved him. I haven't had him on recently. I would like to talk to him. I think Tyson Ritter, I would want to, last time I talked to him was when they were on Warped with, I think Angels and Airwaves was that year. I'm trying to think, maybe it was the year after. I haven't talked to him since besides Twitter. I would like to, but it's been hard to like get in touch with them. But as far as, like, people that, you know, I'm right there, man. I'm naming fucking, you know, Hoppus has been on. Like, I've had people, everybody that I looked up to on my show.
Yeah.
The White Whales would literally be, like, I'm taking it to a whole new level here. I'm going to sound like an asshole. But, like I've had Taylor Swift on. I've had, like, Nick Jonas. I've had Joe Jonas on. Like, I've had them. I don't give a fuck about, like.
Wait, you had Taylor Swift on the show?
Yeah, she was live in studio because she was doing one of the FM stations.
Just like, hey, come in here real quick.
I had her on twice, actually. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I've done that. But, like, who do I don't know. I really don't know, man. I mean, because Jim Adkins. I've never had Adkins on. I consider him a genius, and I'm trying to work on getting him in. I think that would mean a lot to me because that song, Hear You Me, is about, you know, funerals and deaths and stuff. And one of my friends passed away in a fire at the University of Maryland a week before graduation, and the funeral booklet and also his gravestone has the Hear You Me lyric on it.
Oh yeah.
So I think I would want to talk to Adkins and just be like, thank you, dude, for doing that. Like, so that would be like more of a personal thing. Plus he's a genius. So I think speaking to him would be cool. And besides that, like, I don't really get nervous anymore, but, like, who would I get nervous around if I spoke with? It's, like a McCartney, obviously. Like,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like I had Garth Brooks on. I spoke to Garth Brooks, but, like, Garth Brooks doesn't really mean a lot to me. He means a lot to music, but I don't really get phased anymore. You know, like, I've interviewed, especially with my sports stuff as well and covering different, I get excited, but I don't get nervous or phased. You know, I love when Fall Out Boy is on. And I love when Wentz is on. I get very excited when they're on because, you know, it's my time to pick their brain a little bit. But as far as not having anybody, Adkins would probably be the one. I think that would be the one that, you know, 21 Pilots has been coming on for years now. It's harder to get them on, but if I walk past Josh, we're going to high-five each other and talk. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like me being nervous or anything. It's just maybe it's more difficult to have these bands on now that they've gotten bigger. But Adkins would probably be the one that I'd really like to get. So.
Well, that's cool, man. I hope that happens for you. I think that'd be sweet.
Thanks, man. Hell yeah.
So what else is going on with you, man? Like, it was hard to get a hold of you, and it's not your fault. I know you're a very busy guy. You know, finally getting you on the show is awesome. Last week we had some troubles. You had a game, obviously. You had to cover that. And then out of nowhere, there's the terrible, you know, there's the train crash in Hoboken. And what did I read that's actually, like, that's your station?
Yeah, so I live in Hoboken, which is right across from the city. I used to live in the city, moved out there because I could afford a much bigger place out there than living in an apartment in the city.
Yeah.
You know, because New York's expensive as fuck. But, yeah, that was my station, and we were supposed to do the phoner and this interview. And, yeah, so we're live on the air, and all of a sudden we get down the line because we get kind of news before other people get it.
Yeah, you get you. Is, what do you call that? The wire, the news
down,
wire.
Yeah, down the line, down the wire, whatever. And some of it's embargoed, meaning you can't drop it until it drops. But they're like, "Yo, there was a crash." It's like, "All right, well, whatever. Like maybe it was just a crash, you know? Maybe it was just structural." And then they're like, "No, there's 20 injuries." And then went shot up to like 60 injuries. And they're like, "Yo, you got to go out there." And I was like, "Oh fuck, here we go." And I was like hungover and stuff because I didn't know I was gonna. I didn't know I had to. I think it was the day after the Aaron Gillespie, Ace Enders, Vinny Caruana show. So yeah. I was like, what do you mean? Like, but you know, you step up, you put water on your face, and you fucking go out there and do it. I mean, that it happened around 9 a.m. and I was at work since 3:30, hungover. So, you know, so I do that. So I'm always on call. A couple weeks ago, that horrible Chelsea bombing that we had here with that fucking idiot terrorist.
Oh yeah.
Got called into that. I was at the bar. It was a Saturday night at 11 p.m. What else would I be doing? Notre Dame played earlier. I was watching Notre Dame that game. Yeah, that day. It's my weekend. But I'm always on call. But it's going well. You know, I love it. That's that breaking news aspect. It's that. That's what I live for. That's like what I do. So.
Does it give you a rush?
It gives me a rush, but also like when I like if I'm having a shitty day. And I have shitty days all the time. You know, whether it's personal shit or just like, you know, friends or like whatever, you know, we all have bad days. When I go on the gun show though and like hit that red button to go live on air, like it's almost like boom, no worries. This is my control for the next 3 hours and I'm gonna fucking just have fun. So it's cool. So I get the rush to like, I get the excitement. Even every show I consider a blessing. And I don't think it's the audience needs to hear me bitch and moan about stuff. I'll bitch and moan, but believe me, I'll fucking complain. I'll be like, this motherfucker fucked up my shake. You know, like I didn't want peanut butter. They put peanut butter. I'll bitch and moan, but that's like, that's the interaction with the audience. But when you really think about it, we are very fortunate to be able to, you, yourself, myself, like to be able to speak to people that like we look up to and shit. So it's very cool.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. It's awesome. And I'm so glad to actually have you on the show. I think it's great. I don't think we get to talk often enough. It's awesome to, you know, get to know a little bit more about you because so often you're on the air all the fucking time, like whether it's your show or you're on TV. Like my grandpa has probably seen you on TV more than I have.
Right.
And not known who the hell you are. Like who's this kid?
Guns fuck. Right, yeah. Usually I get guns fuck is usually the way it comes across.
Who's this dude hanging out with Imus in the morning? But you know what I mean? It's good to like actually get to talk to you about you because while you might talk about yourself a little bit here and there, I think it's probably rare for people to get to talk about, you know, what you're all about and what you're doing.
I'm not a bad guy. You know, I'm not a bad guy out there, all right? For the trolls out there.
I'm not a crook.
People think, the guns, blah, blah, blah. Nah, man, I'm a fucking just regular dude. I love going to shows. I love fucking interacting. I like having a good time. And if, like, you know, like, that's why I wanted to do this, man. I really appreciate, and the first thing I said to you was, like, props on the success that you've had yourself. Because, you know, you went through your shit with the Under the Gun and all that. And, like, you could have just hung it all up. And, you know, instead you... might have taken some time off here and there, but you're fucking back, man. And props, and thank you so much for fucking having me on, man. Hell yeah.
Thanks, dude. Before I let you go, I want to know what you're listening to. Give me a couple of recommendations.
I don't know why. Actually, I know why, but I still love Knucklepuck. I'm so stoked on these upcoming Knucklepuck shows, man.
Okay.
So I'm listening to Knucklepuck. I think the Somerset album has so many fucking jams. Change Your Mind is such a good song, and I think Missing You needs to be a fucking hit. So I love the Somerset. American Wolves is pretty good if they can get their act together and release some new stuff. Who else? Kevin Devine's new stuff. That's also Fordham, fellow Fordham Ram right there. He went to Fordham University as well. So
really?
Yeah, shout out to Kevin Devine. He was there before I was there, but nice. He's a little older, but it's cool to see him keep doing his thing. And I think if people actually give the new Taking Back Sunday album a listen in headphones twice, I think they'll like it. So I think it's one of their better, more solid albums. So we're out there, we're going strong, and also the new Paris stuff is going to be fucking ridiculous. Let me just tell you that. So
dude, that band is great.
Wait till you hear their new stuff. Oh my god, it's going to be nuts.
Can't wait.
So
that's good stuff.
Jacob Tender, my man, dude. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? If you don't know, now you do know. That's it for this episode of Variable Bitrate. I'd like to thank Guns again for joining me. You can find the show on Twitter as VBRFM. I'm Jacob Tender, and Guns is at The Gun Show.
Guns with a Z, G-U-N-Z, because that'd be me.
G-U-N-Z.
Yeah, buddy. Also, that's Instagram. That's the whole entire thing. My man, Jacob Tender. Yeah.
Find the show notes at curbside.audio/VBR/17 or in your podcast player. Find it anywhere. Thanks again for listening, and we're going to catch you next time.
Ball it.